Blog Talk Radio.
Activity, we may be aware of your guiding spirit at work in our hearts, Lord.
And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Alrighty. Well, let's get into some music. Alright.
I had been stronger, but that apple shone like gold, just as pretty as the lies the devil told. Well, now the devil, he's a liar. Liars, they do lie. I imagine that you met him. He lived beneath the sky. I turned my collar up and I walked out into the cold, just as empty as the lies the devil told.
Amen. I hope you enjoyed the praise and worship part of the service. Let's get into the message. Amen. It's titled, Jesus Brings Us Together So We Can Show Up Through Us in Power. Okay, and it's a series called Identity Theft. And I'm taking it from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. I want to start today by telling you about one of the saddest cases of identity theft I've ever seen, the wolf at Pine Ridge. The real tragedy was that when he lost his identity, he also lost his power. And the same thing can happen to those people who call themselves followers of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body of human hands, remember that all the time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. So Paul starts off here in much the same way that he did in the passage we looked at last week. By reminding us of what was once true of us, he does that because he knows that fully appreciating where we were are now requires remembering where we came from. Now, in the earliest part of chapter 2, Paul talks about things that were true of all human beings because of the lines we have crossed and the marks we have all missed. But here, he's focusing specifically on things that were once true of a group called Gentiles, meaning non-Jewish people. There were two kinds of differences between the Jews and the Gentiles, obvious and insignificant. The obvious, but ultimately insignificant, one of the most obvious differences was that Jewish men were circumcised and Gentile men were not circumcised. Now, this is not what I would call a comfortable subject for anyone, and especially not for all the guys in the room. So I want to keep this as low-key as possible. So if you don't know what circumcision is, Google it. And if you're a kid and you don't know what circumcision is, ask your parents. Parents don't have fun with that. Uh-huh. But the important thing to understand here is that Paul says this difference was obvious, but ultimately insignificant. You can see by that by the way he downplays it, calling it something done in the flesh by human hands. Clearly he's saying that at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter for much. But while circumcision was an obvious, ultimately insignificant difference between Jew and Gentile, there were other things that were not as obvious, but they were ultimately much more significant. Not obvious, but more significant. Paul lists five things that fit into this category. One is separate from Christ, exclude all citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God. There's five separate items here. But in a very real sense, they all boil down to one thing, without hope. When Paul says that they were separated from Christ as our Messiah, he's probably referring to the fact that Gentiles had no promise of the Savior. Everyone, Jew and Gentile alike, needed a Savior, but the Gentiles didn't have one promised to them. Similarly, being part of the citizenship of Israel mattered because Israel was a group of people that God had promised to provide with a Savior. And the covenant of the promise refers to the various agreements from the Old Testament in which God promised to provide for his people. So being part of Israel meant that you had the hope that God wouldn't leave you in your sin. Separated from him, being a Gentile, okay, meant that you had no reason to hope for God to rescue you, even the last one on the list. Without God really points in this same direction. Because the Gentiles didn't know the true God, they were godless and also bereft of the hope that came from knowing him. So while the Jews were ultimately just as lost as Gentiles, at least they had hope. They were in the know of who God is. They had the inside track on what God was doing. Now, here's the thing. From the very beginning, God had intended for his people to not only possess hope, but to proclaim it as well. That's an important principle. When God gives hope, he expects us to possess it and proclaim it. He expects us to take hold of it and also to pass it on to others. We can see this all the way back in one of the first covenants of promise given to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You see, God sets the Jewish people apart from the Gentiles so that they would stand out from the crowd. He intended them to be noticeably different, and in fact, give many commands that were intended to make them stand out from the crowd. This was a part of the way they proclaimed the hope they had. But over time, those things were intended to allow the Jews to proclaim hope to the Gentiles become a point of hostility between them. We'll come back to that in a moment. But for now, just understand this wasn't what God intended, but it was happened. But now, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. But now in Christ Jesus, you were once were far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside the flesh and the laws and commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. We need to understand what Jesus has done and how he's done it. The what is pretty easy. Jesus brought peace where there was hostility. Let's be clear. The blood of Jesus and the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross makes it possible for anyone to be forgiven. That's why Paul says he can reconcile both of them to God through the cross. But what Paul is focusing on here is not the fact that the blood of Jesus can bring both Jew and Gentile into a relationship with God. What Paul is focusing on here is the fact that the blood of Jesus brings Jew and Gentile into a relationship with one another. And that union of Jew and Gentile together becomes an entirely new thing. We call that thing the church. Listen, Jesus doesn't have to save Jews and Gentiles. He saves his church, in which there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. Do you see it? His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. But how? How did he get rid of that distinction, which has stood for a couple thousand years at this point? By destroying the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. What is that? A lot of different things that have been suggested over the years, but the only one that really makes good sense of what God himself says right here is this. The dividing wall was the rules and the regulations of the Old Testament law. I mean, that's what he says here. He destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with his commands and regulations. But why was this a wall of hostility? Because those who followed the rules and regulations had to come to view those who didn't with contempt and vice versa. So Jesus got rid of hostility by setting aside the thing that caused it, the rules and regulations of the law. Now, that might sound a little radical, but that's what Paul says. Jesus is in his flesh set aside or made powerless the law and express rules and regulations. Now, we're treading on some deep theology here. Jesus himself said, I did not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. And yet it sounds like Paul is saying here that Jesus got rid of the law. How can both be true? They're both true because Paul is talking about a different aspect of the law than Jesus was. Jesus was talking about principles on which the law is built, and Paul is talking about specific regulations based on those principles. Jesus himself was perfectly happy to change the regulations based on those principles, and Paul clearly acknowledges the unchanging nature of the principles behind the law. See, we could spend a lot more time unpacking that, but I don't want to lose the trail of what God is saying here. So for now, I want you to notice this. Jesus set aside the rules and regulations of the law in order to bring peace, where there had been hostility to bring together or where it had been separate. But why? Why would Jesus go to such lengths to bring us together? Because on my own, the canvas of my life is too small for God to reveal himself meaningfully. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but the fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Okay, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as chief cornerstone, and in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So here's the potential in Christ. We can be joined together and rise to become a holy temple in the Lord, a place where the Spirit of God dwells in the power, a place where the Spirit of God is obviously present. But notice Paul says the word together twice here. We are joined together. We are being built together. That's the heart of what God is saying to us in this passage. Jesus brings us together so that we can show up through his power. Conclusion. But here's the question we have to wrestle with today. Am I helping or hindering Jesus' work or bringing us together so we can show up through us in power? Can you imagine if I had tricked you her into thinking the fence of a hostility was gone, and then she tried to cross and got zapped? How terrible would that be? It would be just as terrible as when someone tries to cross the boundary and come to church and finds that they're viewed with hostility because of the wrong race or wearing the wrong clothes or speaking the wrong language and need a translator. How is Jesus calling me to participate in his work of bringing us together so he can show up through us in power? Becoming participants often means overcoming one of the three main barriers to togetherness. I am comfortable, one. Two, I am confused. I am confused my agenda with Jesus' agenda, or spiritualized my personal preference, Or three, I am conflicted, I am too heavily invested in things that are hindering togetherness. That's our sermon for today. Now, if you're out there and you lack Jesus in your life, okay, you can do so today, okay? Are you tired of living your lives again, going through the motions, okay, and going down this long, terrible, dusty road and never knowing which way it is up or down, and you, or maybe you need purpose in your life, okay, or maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety, or maybe you suffer from something much worse, such as alcohol, drugs, sexual immorality, overeating, gambling, whatever the issues may be, God can take it away. But in order to do so, okay, you've got to let him into your life. If you don't, he can't do nothing for you. So the question is, do you want to get to know Jesus today? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I'm a sinner, and I'm so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary and died for my sins. And I'm now willing to turn from my sins. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word, right now, I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. Therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. So I want to say thank you once more, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you pray and receive Christ? Please give us your name so we can pray for you. If you just said this prayer, we welcome you into the family of the Lord. May the Lord bless you and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen. Well, okay, and you can do this by calling area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487, and press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you'll come on live, and you can share with us that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. I mean, right now, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all the angels in heaven, okay, and everyone in heaven, okay, is rejoicing that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So won't you let us rejoice with them? Amen. All right. Okay. Okay. All right. Let's take some telephone calls. 843.
Hello.
Hello, 843. All right, how are you doing?
I'm doing great tonight. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored.
All right, I'm looking through at a Bible verse, and it's from Ezekiel 23:20 says, "She left it after her lovers, whose genitals were like those of donkeys and whose emission was like that of horses." I read it and I was really confused, but I don't know what it meant. Like, I need some help out here.
Okay. It means what it says, okay? It means that they were.
So Abbott says there's a historical context behind the quote. I'm not sure. I think it has something to do with love. or lust, forbidden love, I think. Yeah, forbidden love.
Forbidden love and lust and things like that, okay?
Ezekiel 20, yeah. She lusted after her lovers. Yeah, it's forbidden love.
Yeah.
Like, she couldn't, it's probably too, well, I believe so.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Yeah.
It just sounds awkward.
Well, you know, it's the way it's worded. Okay.
Yeah, but.
But it means basically what it says. Okay. Okay,
yeah.
that to lust after something or to
lust after someone who is I think I know what it means. I think it means lust someone who is out of your range.
Yeah, sounds about right. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Good topic.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Probably the topic should be loving someone out of your range, or loving someone who is a forbidden, or just relationships in general. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Basically.
Abba says the Hebrews and Egyptians were two different types of people, and the Egyptians were ungodly and had nothing more been loved, so I'm probably wrong. It simply means that this woman was committing adultery with the Egyptians. So she was committing adultery with, a Hebrew was committing adultery with the Egyptians.
Yeah. Forbidden
yeah.
lust. Yeah.
Forbidden love.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for clearing
okay.
that up for me. All
hey, right. You're so welcome.
I don't want to spend too much time. I just want to know what they call. All right.
Oh, no problem there. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless. Amen.
Amen. All righty. Let's take a caller here, 111. 111, you're
hello,
on here.
Hello, this is Pastor Veal. How are you?
I'm all right. I was still a little ill for the week. Okay, but I got better.
Well, I'm glad you're better. Now, I'd just like to introduce myself to you. You know me already. I believe we did some things together in the past, but I'm the new pastor at Abba's House of Pastor Kent, and things are going very well, and I'm just trying to help minister to as many people as possible. And I'd like your advice on something.
Okay.
Yes. I talked to Pastor Kent about this, and he gave me good advice, and it was the night that I decided to join his flock and his ministry and to start properly ministering to people. I'm very glad to be doing that with Pastor Kent. Unfortunately, I won't be on air tonight because my wife and I are in Las Vegas pastoring to individuals who are gambling late into the night and suffering with addiction. But recently I had an issue. My daughter Anne was supposed to be married to a magician named Job. And Job is the son of a very wealthy landowning company. The owner of this company, he's the president, or was the president, and it's called the Bluth Company. And what happened was Job decided he wanted to get married to my daughter in a very fantastic, magical, Christian way, in his words. And he decided that he was going to go out before the wedding on a massive gold cross and using a magic trick, get himself off the gold cross like Jesus, and then be put into this tomb and rise 2 weeks later from the tomb like Jesus and marry my daughter. And he put off the wedding for this. Well, when he was supposed to be removed from the tomb, Unfortunately, Job was nowhere to be seen. He was not in the tomb. He did not come out. And we don't know where he is. And my daughter was left standing on the pulpit and never was married. And we don't know what happened. Do you have any advice for me? Do you think I committed something wrong?
Well, I'm not big on magical tricks, okay? But maybe I think the person got cold feet, okay?
Oh, that's unfortunate. Now, another question I have is, there's someone in the chat room named Farrar699. I don't know if that is your Farrar, but they are saying that he hoped that Job died, and I find this really upsetting.
I haven't been reading my chat room. Let me just go check on that real quick here. Okay.
It's very upsetting to me. And he also mentioned a good friend of mine, Higgins, that they were glad that he was dead. And that really upset me. And I think it's truly disgusting.
Yes, Joshua Higgins was a dear friend of mine. I'm sorry that Farrar 699 feels that way.
Well, who is this Farrar? Is that the Farrar that you are with?
Yeah, that's the Farrar I'm with.
Well, that's very ungodly. That's a very ungodly relationship if you're with somebody who's saying such ungodly things in the chat. I thought this was supposed to be a ministry, Pastor. Instead,
it
it's looking like well, why are you having someone who's saying that they hope someone died at your ministry? That's really upsetting to me. Two people who I really care deeply about saying that they hope that they died. That doesn't seem something that is godly to be ongoing.
Guess what? Since I don't have a phone to call in because Ken's using my phone, I'm just going to jump in here real quick. And you know what? You can say what you want about what I'm saying in the chat room. There's not a godly person in that chat room. Try reading the chat. Let me see one godly remark that's in there. So, we've got a devil worshiper, Ash. We got a devil worshiper, Ashley. We got Kent in, who swears he's a pastor and a man of God, yet he swears he knows Ken, and he's been with Ken, and Ken served him coffee. Well, we all know that Ken and him have never met, so we know that's a lie. That makes him an ungodly person in the chat room. So get over yourself, okay?
You need to get over yourself, sir.
Ken's not
going
to tell me what to say in the chat room. He's not going
to
censor me.
And you've been constantly saying that you wish people are dead. This is deeply
unfortunate. No, I said that somebody that locks themselves in a cave for 2 weeks to show their bride how godly they are, which is a truly sacrilegious thing to do, ought to die. That's what I said.
No, you are. Why'd you say something about Higgins? You're so upsetting to me.
I didn't like him either.
Well, you're such a jaded individual. You're so angry constantly.
You don't know me. You can't say that. I'm jaded toward some of the people in the chat room. I'm not a jaded person.
Find Christ. I think you need to find Christ properly.
But I've seen how the chat room is, and I know how the chat room is, so get over it.
You need to
settle
down.
And I'm not crying, Ashley.
You need to settle down and get your panties out of a wad and find Christ and let him penetrate you deeply. This is deeply
upsetting to me.
And
why do you have to say penetrate you deeply? You know, you think we don't understand what the sexual innuendos you're making there? And you're talking to me about being dead? Now look at you.
No, this is something that we talk about often at my church. I'm making no sexual innuendo, and how dare you for suggesting I'm doing that? I'm a pastor.
Oh.
I'm a man of God.
Kent says the same thing all the time, and we know it's sexual innuendo from him because all he thinks about is his penis. That's how they say it in Canada, you know, penis.
Well,
so don't
I
tell me he's a godly man in that chat room. Stop! I will take great pleasure tormenting Sylvia in the darkest pits of my domain. Girl, everywhere you are is a dark pit, Ashley.
I pray for Sylvia on a daily basis. I pray for Sylvia on a daily basis, and I'm praying for you because you are not a normal person. You are lacking Christ in your life, and I think you need to repent. I think you need to go to church properly and repent for your sins.
I
because
repent
you are
for my sins every day.
Being absurd. No,
and
I don't think you do.
And,
you haven't
and
God
came into my
life
years ago.
I don't think so. And I'm not trying to judge you as another Christian.
Well,
but
no, you are judging me, which is
because
a sin.
You've been saying that you wish death upon people, which is very
I
ungodly.
Said somebody
it's
that locks
accepting.
Themselves in a cave to prove that their God is stupid and should die. What's the problem?
My son.
Oh, well, your son was stupid.
My
your
son,
son thought he was God.
Son.
Your son
you
was
my
not
son.
God.
You can look into your heart and find forgiveness for people who have wronged you. Do you not know the Lord's Prayer?
Of
forgive
course I
those
know the
who trespass upon us. Christianity
of course I do.
Is based on forgiveness, and you are offering no forgiveness.
I don't
to
have to forgive him for being stupid.
No, you don't.
It doesn't bother me, Annie.
Godly, you need to forgive people. You need to turn the other cheek. That is the Christian way to do things.
I do forgive people. People that I know in my real life, in my relationships, people in my community that I deal with on a regular basis, face to face. But to forgive a bunch of people in a chat room who are using false identities and false voices and this and that, who is that to forgive? I don't know these
people.
Well, you
don't know that.
So there's nothing for me to forgive.
31 through 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgive one another, as God in Christ forgave you. You are very bitter and full of rage and anger, and maybe some of these people you're slandering as well. Mark,
I'm not slandering anybody.
Mark,
have you heard me say anything untruthful?
And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So this is the Bible is saying that anything that somebody does to upset you, forgiveness is the best thing. It doesn't matter the circumstances. You're trying to delineate all of this into circumstances. You truly are. And as a result, you are full of bitterness and resent, and it's not good for you. Matthew 6:14 from the Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. This is an important thing as well. Here's some more teachings on forgiveness for you. John 14:26-27. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give
Kit
to you.
Kit Kat, a ragu fart is when you eat too much ragu sauce. Oh,
what
I'm sorry, dear. I was answering a question in the chat room. Please continue.
Yes. So, Mr. Farrar, I truly do feel for you when I hear that people are upsetting you in chat and consistently harassing you and Kenneth Fishman. But God wants us to forgive others, and it is important that we do this. We must live.
Well, I forgive everybody daily. Okay, that's why he keeps coming back and doing this show.
I think you should type into the chat. I think you should type into the chat, despite the fact that all of you upset me deeply, which is a natural reaction, that I forgive you. It is important to express forgiveness as a form of repentance.
Guess what, everybody in the chat room? I really don't give a crap about any of you. The only one I really appreciate is Kossoff. The rest of you, I don't care what you say, what you do, I don't forgive you. And I really don't, there's nothing to forgive. Really, I don't know what this fool is talking about that I need to forgive you. Because I have nothing against you, except for what you type in the chat room on a daily basis. Because that's all I know about y'all, is what you type into the chat room.
I'm not going to accuse you of being a fake Christian, but I just quoted countless scripture to you, and scripture points to the fact that it is important for you instead of
Ashley
holding
a,
malice.
You're absolutely correct, Ashley A. I am a fake Christian because I'm not a Christian. I'm a Catholic.
Well, Catholicism is the original church of God. You should recognize Scripture more than anybody else.
Oh, we have fought wars over it. We have fought wars over it.
We have fought wars over it.
Exactly.
But it is important to recognize that the Word of God is the Word of God. I'm speaking
the Word
to you
of God, yes, I thoroughly agree with you, was written a long, long time ago. And yes, it still fits today, sort of. But the world we live in today is not the world of then. Back then, they didn't have people on a regular basis, on an internet, on your phone, on TV. Worlds have changed since then.
Now,
if you turn the other cheek, they're going to kick you in the other jaw.
Mr. Farrar, you are...
To survive in this world, you must be strong.
Empathy, and who has said we should forgive those who have committed crimes across the United States. This is important. This is godly. Trump isn't godly, but, you know, the great way to be godly is to be empathetic and to also have the Word of God coursing through you and be forgiveful. It is the most important thing to be forgiveful. And you are not being forgiveful. You're being spiteful.
Of course I'm not. There's nothing to forgive.
Why is there nothing to forgive?
People on a daily basis in the chat room, and I only argue about the things that they're arguing about at that moment.
Of course there's something to forgive. And I think the reason why people are moving from your ministry to Abba's house is because we teach forgiveness.
Good. I'm glad. When can I find that show? I'd like to be in your chat room.
You can find... We don't have a chat room.
Exactly. Why don't you open a chat room? Why don't you give your listeners and your fans a chance to say what they really want to say?
Because we take calls. We don't play music.
Oh,
we take calls.
So does Ken. Ken's taking calls, and he's got his chat room open. For those people that don't want to call in.
And you do
there
not.
Are people out there who do not want to call the show, but they do want their opinions and their nonsense heard or seen. So, you know, until you open a chat room, and do what you say you're doing, I can hear this show of yours.
There's so much ungodliness going on. I hear F words dropped constantly. We do not allow that on my ministry, and we do not allow death threats on my ministry.
Oh, well, you know, I'm glad. I'm glad. That's very good that that's good that you censor your listeners.
You are ungodly.
So, you should. Yeah, you really should. You should have full control of what they say and their minds, their ideas, and their thoughts. They shouldn't be able to speak freely. They should only say what you want to hear. Oh, that's a great show.
It is absolutely important that you repent. Or else
it's absolutely important that
God will not welcome you into the kingdom of heaven because of the things that you have said. I quoted scripture to you. I have.
Okay, you know what? Here's the deal. I tell you what. I will go in that chat room, and I will type, as you said, and I will tell everybody in there that despite all they've said about me, that, you know, that I give people AIDS and that I took a class in how to suck my own dick so I could jack off downtown in the tourist section and shoot HIV-infected sperm on people, I will go in there and tell them that I thoroughly forgive them all. And from now on, I will have nothing to say about them. But you have to do something first. Hold on. I will do this under one condition. You get Kent, your great pastor, leader, who is of such godly faith, you get him to call in this show and admit that he's never met Kent, that Kent has never served him a cup of coffee, or any other thing. You just get him to call this show and admit his lie. And then I will go in the chat room and ask everybody for forgiveness. There's the deal. You want to save somebody? Save me tonight. But first, the only way you're going to save me is to prove that your pastor is not a liar.
My pastor is not a liar.
Everybody says Ken's a liar. Yes, Ken told a bunch of lies when he started this stuff out. He wasn't cool with the internet. He was an older man. He was trying to impress people. He told lies. He has admitted his lies and has admitted his sins, like you're saying. Yet he's not forgiven. Even by
Kent
your ministry.
Lied.
Even by your ministry, he is not forgiven. He's called a liar and everything else. He admitted his lies. He asked forgiveness of his flock. So you get Kent, your godly, godly pastor, to call this show and admit his lie, and I'll do as you ask.
Well, in my personal experience, Pastor Kent has never lied to me.
And my cunt, we never wanted a three-way with Kent. That's gross.
Well, Kent told me something opposite, and God has forgiven you for that, he said.
Okay, well, see, Kent, well, get Kent to come on and admit it was a lie.
Yeah,
show what a godly person he is. Admit his sins to his flock that we have in our chat room.
I won't stoop to your level. I won't stoop to your guys' level.
Of course you won't. Of course you won't, because you can't.
Because
you can't have him admit it, because to admit it would admit that he's a fake. So if he can't admit his lies, he is a fake.
Kent is not a fake. He's the real deal. He can quote.
Did he say he knows Ken? Did he say that he met Ken? Did he say Ken served him coffee? Did he say that Ken got on his knees and put his penis, because that's how they say it in Canada, in his mouth? And just held it there for hours on end. Now, didn't he say this on air? Didn't he?
No, he's never said this on air with me. But if
God, he has said this on air on the Tony Gaga show. He has said it on this show when Ken's answered his phone calls. So, please, don't even. Go back into back shows and you check it out.
Well,
you get him to come on this show and admit it was all lies, which it was. Because they've never met. They've never seen each other in person. They've never even been in the same room. So you get him to admit that and show what a godly person he is.
My son, let me speak. Jesus didn't need to prove his abilities to the devil when he was in the desert. He didn't. And
see? You sound like that woman that talks for Trump.
Well,
Trump tells lies and she says, no, he didn't say that. That's exactly what you're doing. Gave us 30. You're in the chat room. Your flock, your followers, and they're saying Dr. Kent gave us dirty details.
Well,
now how
Dr.
can you say
Kent,
is Kent saying that he had sex with me?
Well,
oh my God!
That did happen, and God has forgiven you for it.
It did not happen. See, more lies, more silliness.
No, God has
forgiven
me. And do we
have any other callers?
Nobody is
trusting.
Not lie about it, Tony Farrar. God will forgive you for your sins. God has forgiven you for your sins.
God forgave me for a lot of things.
Well, that's a very good thing. Do you know the parable where there is a woman put to death? Or going to be put to death, and they are supposed to stone her, and she is a prostitute. And Jesus says, let those who haven't sinned cast the first stone.
He says, let he without sin cast the first stone. If you're going to quote the parable, quote it correctly.
Well,
and
I
on
am
that,
quoting the parable
I'm
correctly.
Out.
This, I have my Bible out in front of me. I
you're
have my
boring
Bible
me. Bye.
You need to repent and you need to stop sinning. Sin no more. Sin no more. Ken, I believe you are in an abusive relationship, and I believe you need to truly pray and meditate on this. And Ken, I look forward to you joining our flock eventually. I truly do. Now I'd like to offer a quick sermon to those in the chat about betrayal.
Go right ahead.
Hello everybody, and blessings upon all of you. I did this yesterday, by the way, but I think this matters today as well. Before I start, I'd like to offer a quick prayer to all of you here. Lord Heavenly Father, Abba, I pray that our listeners tonight are healthy, happy, and wise. I pray that I can connect them to you in a good way. At the end of the day, you are on top of things, and I am simply on bottom, trying to be powerful and spread your word wide and insert it deep into the minds and spirits of my flock. Amen. Again, thank you for tuning into my sermon tonight on God's Rainbow Ministries. I am blessed and highly favored to be joining Dr. Pastor Ken Fishman here, despite the fact that he is not a member of my flock with Pastor Kent on Abba's House. I consider him to be a man who I must pray for often, as we are all full of sin, and Ken is full of sin as well. He is only human. Tonight's sermon for me is on betrayal. Betrayal runs deep, and I've chosen this topic based on the discussions I heard two nights ago with my listeners. Deep, deep, deep down, I know that betrayal is at the root of all their issues, it seems. Marital betrayal, betrayal of their own moral leanings, and betrayal of those they trust in the most. I know tonight we've heard betrayal of forgiveness, which is the most important Christian trait. We've heard death threats, some of which are very upsetting for people in this chat room. I truly understand that, and I pray that you can forgive Tony Farrar for his trespasses. It is important to note that Jesus himself was betrayed by Judas. But Jesus knew this. He chose to keep him in his flock until the last. We should strive to be more like Jesus rather than Judas in the lives of others. Jesus never cursed at Judas. He never strove to penetrate him with his harsh words, but rather, Jesus kept him close. I'd like to quote from Scripture now, Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive others for their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others for their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive yours. I think that's important here, after what we just listened to understand that forgiveness isn't conditional. It shouldn't be conditional. Forgiveness is a trait that we should dispense consistently. Our lives are full of tumultuous activities and things that will upset us. And it is up to us as Christians to forgive those who have trespassed upon us without question and without heed. It's hard to forgive those who betray us, often in extravagant ways you don't even see coming. And it's easy to let people with ulterior motives into our lives without even recognizing it. For we as humans are fundamentally flawed beings, and we are filled with original sin. But we are forgiven because Christ rose from the grave to forgive us of those sins. I'd like to now share a personal story that my wife has granted me permission to tell, along with the individual involved in this who is converted to Christianity after seeing the error of his ways. All of these are members of my church in Orange County now, the Church of the Good Shepherd, and it's deeply important that we get this out here, because there are sins and trespasses greater than calling into a show and wreaking havoc. These are minor things compared to the sin of adultery, which is a sin in the Ten Commandments. It is a mortal sin. My daughter Anne was once dating a young man by the name of George Michael. George Michael was the son of Michael Bluth, the president of a large residential and commercial development county here in Orange County. Michael was under a lot of pressure in his life. His father was in prison because of building homes in Iraq under false pretense, and his mother was consistently unsober and continually trying to undermine him and his family, pitting them against one another. From the get-go, I knew that George Michael was a good man, but his family was deeply devoid of Christ in their lives. They lied, cheated, and Michael was trying to keep them in line. It was a total state of arrested development within the family. But nevertheless, I saw Michael as a good man. That was until my wife met him and was lured in by his secular ways of living. She committed adultery, and while she had not gone all the way with Michael, this was still very hurtful to me, and in a moment of rage, I lashed out against him. It took me a long time to forgive myself for this, and forgive Michael and my wife for this. Eventually, though, and through Christ, I did. And since then, my wife has been faithful, and marriage counseling was also very important to this, and Michael has found his way to the Lord. And again, it is important for us to pray for those who trespass upon us, not shout death threats, and not wish that these individuals have died for their sins. It is important for us to recognize that God is on top of things for this reason, and he only wishes to insert himself deep into our lives, and we must let him in. Sometimes it takes instances like this for wisdom to simply slip itself in. This can be painful, especially if you do not prepare or haven't been prepared to let God into your life. but in the end, you will walk away satisfied and a better person in Christ because of it. But betrayal can cut deep, deep, deep down. And it can be a long and hard journey to forgive those who trespass against us regardless of their faith in Christ. We are only human. I'd like to present to you another case as a pastor put me on my knees and made me weak. It was a betrayal of one I trusted very much in my church. Yes, even the ones we let into our sacred house can go astray. This individual enticed me to help children in a foreign country, something I care very deeply about. And my daughter Anne went to this nation to try to feed starving children, only to discover that this very same person who I considered a deep friend in Christ was committing terrible acts upon them and forcing them into labor under the guise of sucking the sins from their body. He made a lot of money off of this. I refused to believe it is true until I saw for myself. It made me sick. And the children that this man worked with called him the devil, which made me very sad. And I'm working to forgive this man today. I invite all the listeners of this show to share their stories of betrayal with us tonight. And forgiveness, for forgiveness is the most Christian trait. As always, I will be here to minister on Abba's House, not tonight because I am in Las Vegas ministering to individuals there who suffer from the terrible addiction of gambling, but I invite you to come to our flock and see what we have to offer. Call in, and I will minister you to the best of my abilities. Amen.
Amen. Sounds good. Sounds good. What did you say your name was again?
My name is Pastor Veal.
Okay. Well, good to meet you. Okay.
Well, I've known you before this, but you probably don't remember me.
I try to remember people.
Well, I'm a member of Kent Hopper's flock, Dr. Pastor Kent Hopper. I'm his new co-host, and I invite you to tune in tomorrow as well. I won't be on tonight, because, again, I have to minister to people in Las Vegas. But we invite everybody onto our show, and I minister to everybody and everybody, regardless of our past. And I'd like to thank you for allowing me to be on air tonight. And I will be praying for Tony Farrar that he can get the forgiveness that he needs in his life, because he seems very broken right now. Do you agree, Pastor Ken?
Well, he has... He has taken a lot of stuff from people in my chat room and from people talking mess on other shows, okay. So he's not a very happy camper, okay, about that, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Well.
You know what I'm saying? So,
well, when I'd like to share another thing of personal experience with you. Well, we did meet in seminary, Pastor Ken. We met in seminary very briefly. I went to Mount St. Mary College as well. And I did meet you, and we had a short chat. I believe you talked to me about forgiveness as well and how important it was for you in your life that forgiveness was important. And it
right.
is in my personal it is in my personal opinion that a relationship, regardless of the relationship, should be built on Christ and Christian principles. And it appears that Mr. Farrar is a Christian, but he's espousing non-Christian ideals, and you as a pastor need to step up. It is your duty as the man of the house to be the most Christ-like figure. And you need to tell Mr. Farrar that forgiveness
thank you.
Is
yes, I will have. I will have, let him tell me that. Can I ask you a question, though, real quick? See, I don't have a phone to call in, so I have to come in and break in like this. I'm sorry. Or else I'd be in the other room, in the chat room. Can I ask you a quick question? You said a little while ago that you had met Ken at the seminary?
Yes, I believe I did meet Ken at seminary.
Really? Because, you know, Ken got his degree online, right?
Well, I believe that I met him at seminary.
Well, how could you have met him at a seminary if he got his degree online? Are you here telling stories and telling lies? Like you're telling me not to do and to be forgiven. Oh, wait a minute. I'm just asking a question. How did you meet Ken at the seminary if he got his doctorate online and never went to one?
And he got
his degree while we were together, so I know he did it online.
Hang on.
That.
I deeply apologize. I met another Ken Fishman at seminary at Mount St. Mary College.
Oh,
I apologize.
That is so convenient. Really? Oh, okay. So now it's a different Ken. Okay, I like that cover-up. I like that. See, that's thinking on your feet. I like that. You would have probably made a great MC somewhere.
To cover things up. If this Ken went online, there was another Ken who I met at seminary named Ken. Ken is a quite common name, and I believe that I had met Ken at seminary, but unfortunately I did not, and I deeply apologize.
The same seminary where Pastor Kent met him, right?
At Mount St. Mary?
That would be the same seminary where Pastor Kent. So what you and Pastor Kent are saying is that you both met somebody completely different who isn't Pastor Ken.
Well, Kenny, I'd like to point out that Kenny even admitted to meeting me at one point, and I do believe that I have met Kenny, Pastor Ken.
You might have. I've met a lot of people, you know, in my day.
And that's very possible. You could have met him, but not under the circumstances you're telling people to believe.
Well, Mr. Farrar,
I was speaking
to Ken, and I would like to speak to Ken only because this conversation is between me and Ken and not for you to butt into.
Well, let's go with this. I'm like CNN. I'm the facts checker.
I don't think you're the facts checker.
Hey, give the president a facts checker. God's Rainbow Ministries has one.
I don't think you're the facts checker because every relationship...
Well, I'm checking your facts. I'm asking about this seminary story.
This conversation is between the man of the household, not the woman. I can counsel you separately.
I'm not a woman. I'm not a woman. I'm a gay man.
Well, I've
been... And Ken and I are 50-50 partners when there's no man of the house. What decade do you live in?
There's the man of the house. There's the de facto man of the house, and that man is Ken. Ken is the pastor. He should be in charge.
How many gay relationships have you been in?
I am a pastor of a church in Orange County.
Okay.
I know many gay people. I'm in a state that has legalized gay marriage.
Okay, and in Orange County, gay men don't consider themselves equal to their partner? They think, you're the head of the house, you're the man, I'm a woman? That doesn't even make sense.
Are you
hitting on me?
That
doesn't even make sense to me.
Are you hitting on me?
No, I'm not hitting on you. Gross. I don't even know you.
I do believe you're hitting on me in front of your husband. This is inappropriate. I'm a married man.
You are so silly. But that is also a good save. A nice way to change the subject. Nice way to get out of a lie. I like that. You're quick on your feet, like I said earlier. Tony Evans insinuating that Kenny's the pillow biter of the relationship. Nah,
That is ungodly that you say this on a ministry show. We shouldn't be talking about fornication in the bedroom.
You're the one that brought it up. I'm simply answering a question from a caller, and you brought it up, not me.
I am simply trying to minister to Ken, who needs help in this time. Put Ken back on the line. I don't want to speak to you. You've been hitting on me, and I don't feel comfortable with that.
Guess what? I'm tired of talking to you. Someone?
Yeah.
Well, thank God.
Bye!
Well, our show is about to end. We got 2 minutes left, so let me say a prayer here. Okay. Okay. Lord, oh God, bring us to a unity with your Son, Jesus Christ, so this power can be revealed in us and we may find new life in which we can truly serve you. Protect us from all error, Lord. Be among us with your spirit to make us people who are genuine, Lord. Let your will be carried out more and more in this age, Lord. Let your will again intervene so that a new creation may come. A new heaven and a new earth, Lord. So, and as we have been promised, Lord. May your name be great among us, Lord. May your kingdom come and everything in heaven and on earth be done according to your will. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All righty. Well, I hope everybody has enjoyed the show tonight. So God bless. Okay, we'll be back on air Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Okay, for Purpose Gospel Radio. See you all then. God bless.